Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. And then grabbing one verse from the Old Testament lesson. So the gospel, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" So, the normal place where we take the account for the stilling of the sea happens to be in the Gospel of Matthew. And there is one pretty big difference between the two. In Matthew, Jesus asks before he stills the storm, "Why are you so afraid, you of little faith?" And then he gets up and he stills the storm. In Mark, he gets up and stills the storm and then says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Let me first explain why both of those are accurate. Have you known a teacher ever in your life who, in the course of teaching a lesson, did not repeat themselves? And very effective to say it at the beginning, to teach the lesson, and say it at the end, right? And so we can assume that Jesus, at the beginning, before stilling the storm, would say, "Why are you so afraid? You have little faith." And there is some wonderful things in the of little faith, which happens to be a term of endearment if you go back and if you know the Greek. It's a term of endearment. "Oh, little faith ones." And then he stills the storm and says, "Do you still have no faith?" All of which leads to the question, what is faith? What exactly is faith? We need a definition for it. And so here's the definition. I take it straight from Martin Luther. Faith is to believe the words and promises of God. You've heard that before. To believe the words and promises of God. Faith is believing the words and promises of God. And it always goes like that, because the object of faith happens to be the words and promises of God. God speaks, God makes his promises, and those words are to be believed. In fact, it is such a pointed distinction that I get to ask the children in confirmation class about that verse where it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." And I ask them the question, what's the difference between Abraham believed God and Abraham believed in God? Well, to believe in God means you believe that he exists, that he is there, that he will answer prayers, that he will reward those who seek after him, as the letter to the Hebrews says. To believe God is a very simple thing. God said something to Abraham, and Abraham believed it. You see, the object of the faith is the words and promises of God. So before I go on, do you want to see a picture of perfect faith? Picture of perfect faith. There we are, front of the bulletin. I keyed in planning out the bulletin, I keyed in Google, Jesus asleep in the boat. This was one of the pictures. If you look closely, you see the water droplets and everything. That's a picture of perfect faith. It's a picture of perfect faith because what comes next is the question, why could Jesus sleep? The boat's tossed all over the place. Waves are splashing into the boat. He's getting wet. Where he's sleeping, it's tossing up and down, side to side. How can he sleep? And the answer is not because he was tired. Because no matter how tired you are, when it's tossing all over like that, you're probably going to get banged around and wake up, right? And the answer is not, well, because he's God and he knew that he was going to still the storm later on. Because he was sleeping. Sleeping is a human thing. We're talking about the human thing called faith. As a human being, having faith, how could he sleep? And the answer ends up being, very simply, because he had faith. He had perfect faith. What's that mean? He perfectly trusted his Father, that his Father would watch over him, and that he could place himself into the hands of his Father, and his Father was there and could be trusted completely and absolutely. That's perfect faith. How perfect? Absolutely perfect. How far? Well, that's a different question. How far? All of a sudden, it's a different image. How far did he go in trusting his Father? How far would he go in believing the words and promises of God? And the answer to that is all the way. All the way where? All the way where, Pastor? All the way where? Glad you asked. I talked to myself. All the way to the cross. As I've said before, and you've heard it before, faith has to be tested out. Because the first part, well, believing the words and promises of God, well, that part's easy. Believing the words and promises of God in spite of, in the face of all of the things that happen in life, in the face of a storm, in the face of the impending danger of the boat going down and everybody drowning, and still to believe the words and promises of God. God, his Father, had told him that he would watch over him, that he would be with him, that he would take care of him. That's all there in the Old Testament, and Jesus took those words and promises of God and he believed them. All the way to when the sky turned black and judgment rained down from heaven, and what looked like it was only the curse that was raining down on him. And when the word of God applied to him on the cross was the word of God that belonged to Adam and Eve, but Jesus came along to take it. The word of God that belonged to us, but he came along to take it. Dust you are, and to dust shall you return. And the word of God that belonged to us, the Ten Commandments, and all of the curses that went with the commandments, the soul that sins shall die. And Jesus comes along to take that word of God. And in the face of that word of God, then to keep on trusting the words and promises of God. That's perfect faith. And it is the most amazing thing when you keep on looking deeply into the life of Jesus and see Jesus, the man of faith, walking along with the words and promises of God, holding on to them in spite of everything, knowing that he's going to the cross, holding on to the words and promises of God. Because in those words and promises of God, there is also that the Lord would rescue his soul from death, and that by his suffering and dying, he would purchase a countless multitude for God from every nation and every language to be with him and to live forever with him. And so he goes to the cross. Again, we go back to the letter to the Hebrews. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the glory of the throne of God. And that's Jesus. Jesus, then, who invites the disciples. He's teaching this lesson. It's the lesson about faith. What is faith? Believing the words and promises of God. How hard do I have to work to do the believing? What? That doesn't connect. There is no work in believing. Believing is believing that he's done all the work. Well, how hard do I have to try? How far do I have to mature in my faith? No, it's just believing the words and promises of God. It is the simplest thing in the whole world. And the harder you're trying to work at faith, the more you're missing the point. It's the words and promises of God, and those words and promises are there. And so let me share with you a bit of a sermon from, must have been 20-some years ago. I was there at a nursing home, like I was there yesterday, at a nursing home here, and then at another nursing home here, then at another nursing home here. And at this other nursing home way back when, I came there and started preaching a sermon about faith, and it's just the words and promises of God. And I started to say to the people there, look, it doesn't matter how good or bad day you're having. It doesn't matter how strong or weak your faith. Is Jesus still the Savior? Well, yes. Is he still the one who died and rose for you? Yes. Is he still the one who has forgiven your sins? Well, yes. Okay, then. And I said, you can be having the worst day of your life and be in an absolutely lousy mood, and Jesus is still the Savior. And one of the ladies there, Pastor?
Yes.
Does that mean I can be feeling absolutely terrible and really grouchy, and it's okay because Jesus is my Savior? Yes, exactly. And she says, well, okay then. Gets this big grin on her face. Keeps it the whole rest of the time I'm there, right? And I know she kept it afterward. How do I know this? Because the next time I was there at the nursing home, there's about a dozen more people in the chapel. Where? How'd this happen? Where'd this come from? And they wanted to hear it again. So you can be having a horrible day. You can be as grouchy as you can imagine being. You can feel lousy and depressed and sad, and it doesn't change that Jesus is your Savior. And they're going, yeah. And then they leave happy. Guess what happened the next month when I went back? More people there. 5-6 months running, they wanted to hear the same thing each of those months. And because it lifts off of us this thing that you sometimes hear that, well, it goes in the song, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, right? Then your face will surely show it. So being a Christian involves you should be happy. Well, what if I'm not happy? And my message was, I don't care. Jesus is still your Savior. And then they got happy. believing the words and promises of God. Not trying to do the words and promises of God yourself. Because, frankly, you can't do the words and promises of God. Somebody else already did them. You can't do the words and promises of God that give salvation. Because somebody else did all of that. And you want to take away from Jesus the work of salvation? No. Simply believe the words and promises of God. So the wind starts blowing, the waves start mounting, they start splashing into the boat, and there's Jesus. What's the problem? Did God forget to exist today? Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Don't you care that we're perishing? Why are you afraid? Still have no faith? Oh. There's where we're going to drag a little bit of Matthew in here. Because that word, oh, you have little faith. In Greek it is oligopistoi. It means little one's faith. Taking the little baby steps of faith. Here's me. Walking along, unsteady on my feet of faith. And I'm not sure about all of this, believing the words and promises of God. There are days, like Wednesday, things started to go wrong, and then toothache developed. But we got to take the kids to the zoo, and there's six of them, and they're running around shrieking. And so we got to get them into the car. Then I'm walking out to the car, and as I'm walking out to the car, a bird got me. What do you think the grandkids thought of that? Yeah, it laughed. So my wife is saying, Grandpa's got to go in and change his shirt and wash his shoulder. And they're laughing. And then on the way to the zoo, the air conditioning in the car starts acting up. And on Thursday, I end up spending most of the day in an emergency root canal. Yay. Is he still the Lord? Still the Savior? Yep. Still faithful to his promises? He's not going to leave any of them to go unfilled? Yep. He's still the Lord. Still the Savior. Okay. So no matter what happens, he's still the Savior. That's it. That's all it is. He's still the Savior who has forgiven my sins. He is my Savior. He went to the cross for me. My sins are removed from me, taken by Jesus on himself. They're gone. I'm okay with God because he has called me okay with him. He did it through Jesus, who died and rose for me, who shed his blood for me, who will continue on being my Savior forever. And that's sweet. Boy, that is so sweet that we got this Old Testament verse. Talks about the angels, morning stars, talks about the angels again, sons of God. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Why? Because God was doing his thing of creating life, bringing forth a universe, creating human beings to be in the image of God and to know God and be connected to God and have the Word of God in our hearts and in our souls. And by having the eternal Word of God in our hearts and our souls, then God was making us eternal. And that's what he's given us in Jesus. And that's the words and promises of God. They'll be true tomorrow, too. Okay? The words and promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen.